I don't want to walk without him. I don't want to live without him. Amen. So glad that each of you are here. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 20. Thank you for standing. As Pastor said, I'm so thankful not everybody left town, but so glad that each of you are here on this last Sunday of the year, last Sunday of this decade. Things are changing. This world is changing very quick. But I'm so glad that the Word of God never changes. I'm so glad that the Word of God never changes, that it's powerful, just as powerful as it was, it still is today, and it will be tomorrow. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20, and we are joining Israel outside the walls of Jericho for some context. So the people shouted with the priest, or when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. How many are glad we still serve a miracle-working God? I'm so glad that not only do the walls of Jericho did they fall, but there are walls and there are things that I believe as we go into 2020 that have seemed impenetrable, that have seemed impossible, but we worship the God of the impossible. We worship the God of the miraculous. It doesn't matter how complex, doesn't matter how impossible it may seem. When God is involved, anything is possible. Can we ask that God would speak to us over the next few moments? Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm so thankful for your word, so thankful for every promise. I pray that over the next few moments that you would touch my mind and my heart, God. Lord, let your word, God, somehow change me like never before. Lord, I desire to start, Lord, this new year and this new decade with a new determination, with a new focus, with a new perspective, God. Lord, I want to believe for the miraculous. I want to expect the supernatural in my everyday walk with you. God, let me see those things, Lord, I pray. Lord God, that you have your way in me, Lord, I pray in your precious name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Amen. Moses is dead, and Joshua is the new leader of Israel. And miraculous things have already started to happen. In fact, as the Red Sea parted for Moses, now the Jordan River has parted for Joshua and the children of Israel. It is a time of blessing and it is a time of favor. It is a time of the miraculous. And in the scripture I read, it was again what seemed like impossible, never happened before and never happened since, at least in the physical that I'm aware of, that the walls of the city of Jericho literally crumbled down and they conquered the city. The enemy was utterly destroyed before them. And now we leave the victory of chapter 6 and we turn over to chapter 7. And it brings us to the next battleground. And Ai is such a small city. It is really insignificant when you compare it to the size of other enemies that have already fallen before them and the cities that have already been destroyed. It just seems almost insignificant. It is just a moment and it will be done. And we know the story here in chapter 7. It says that they begin to confer one with another and they decide that, you know, really there is no need to take everyone up to Ai. We know how small it is. We've already scoped it out. It's an easy victory. It's just another one that we can really go ahead and check off in the history books as a win for Israel. And rather than taking everyone with us, you know, some people need some rest, whatever the reason, just 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers will be more than sufficient to utterly destroy Ai. And so they did, they made the plan, and those 2 or 3 went forward, and it seemed reasonable. It was tactically, it makes sense tactically. It seems it's a way to save resources, it's a time for rest. But to their horror, casualties began to mount at Ai, and before long, they are utterly put to flight and flee the small city of Ai. And it is a very confusing time, and Joshua finally bows himself before God and begins to pray. and begins to consult God what went wrong at Ai. At Jericho, it was miraculous. The Jordan River, it parted. We are walking in the blessings. We are walking in the favor of God. Why all of this stuff? And before we get to the actual scriptures here in chapter 7, it's kind of interesting. Why didn't Joshua actually consult God before they went to Ai? Just began to consult one with another and say, you know what? This looks like it's easy. This is really nothing we need to be worried about. And never do we find that they consult God. I'm actually pretty confident from God's response to Joshua later in chapter 7 that if Joshua had bowed himself before God and said, God, we're getting ready to go to Ai. What do you recommend? I believe that God would have showed him what was about to happen and that would have given him an opportunity to fix it. But for whatever reason, he began to depend on himself. He was coming off of another high. He was coming off of another victory and never took time to assess what might happen at Ai. And at times it is easy for us to depend on what we already know and what we've already experienced and to depend on our talent and to depend on our ability and to depend on our reasoning and then assume also that the blessings and the blessings of God are somehow unconditional and we can just keep marching the way that we have and not take time to assess, not take time to visit with God. And finally, when things don't go right, probably not very unlike us, we began to blame God and say, God, well, I thought you promised us this. I thought you promised the blessing. I thought you promised that I would have this. I thought you promised that you would walk with me. Here, Joshua in chapter 7, verse number 6, it's really kind of a sob story here. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us? Would to God that we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? What a sob story. Just putting it all back on God. What are you going to do then, God? Why couldn't we have been content on the other side? He begins to really just pour it out to him. And this frank response from God really gives, I think, insight that God would have been happy to disclose what was going to happen at Ai if he would have simply asked. Verse number 10, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You know, done with the pity party, get up. It's time to make some changes. Joshua, stop crying your tears. Stop blaming everybody else. Get up. It's time to make some changes. And then God is very honest. Verse number 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commandeth them. For they even taken of the accused thing, and have also stolen and dissembled. And I looked up that word, dissembled. What does that mean? It actually, if you go back to the Hebrew, it means to be thin or to feign obedience, to go through the motions. To go through the motions. Because you have taken things and you have chosen to simply go through the motions, and they have put them among their own stuff. They've kept those things. And while Joshua eventually gets around to asking God here, and God answers about what went wrong, wouldn't it have been simply easier to walk with God to begin with instead of just assuming? As I was praying, it seemed like these words came to my mind over and over, and so I wrote them down and I bolded them. Even though the promised land was their destiny and their promise from God, it had to be done God's way. We can have any amount of blessings and things written to us and spoken over us and prayed over us and prophesied over us and written in the back of our Bible or folded up in our little note in our wallet and assume that all of that is just written in stone. But let me tell you this, If you choose to do any of it without walking with God, all of that is for naught. All of those blessings, you can walk into the future expecting that AI is going to fall and absolutely nothing happens. In fact, it is an utter defeat. Why? Simply because it did not walk with God. It is in this time of reflection that it is time for Joshua to make some changes. And there's an obvious connection between our walk with God and our spiritual health, right? As we walk with God and it affects our spiritual health. But we also need to understand that there is a connection between our walk with God and the blessings of God. The blessings of God oftentimes manifest themselves in the physical, and we don't often connect them as a spiritual outcome, but we need to recognize that it is from that walk with God that comes the blessings from God. It's so easy to compartmentalize God, and it only becomes a Sunday thing. It only becomes when a miracle is desperately needed, and we're thankful we have Pastor's cell phone number because we know that when we call him, he will immediately begin to pray. But why do we compartmentalize it that way and not recognize that as we draw close to God, that he will draw close to us? That there are blessings that come simply from walking hand in hand with him. It is this end of the year talking about that spiritual change, to talk about spiritual reflection. And there's often the physical reflection of things that people want to change, and they have the ideas, and they go through some sort of assessment, or maybe they just think it's cool of what somebody else is doing, and I ought to do that too. I remember that's how I went on and continued my education and got a master's degree, is because everybody else was doing it. Now, it worked out well for me, right? So I did that. But I looked up, what are the top 10 New Year's resolutions? And it said that most of these, this is Time Magazine, most of these are not kept. But this is the top 10 New Year's resolutions from a few years back. Sure, it's pretty close to the same now. Number one. You don't have to raise your hand if this is on your list. Lose weight and get fit. Sounds pretty good. Number two, quit smoking. That's good. If you're smoking, you need to quit. Learn something new. That sounds good. Number four, eat healthy or diet. Sounds good. Number five, get out of debt and save money. Sounds good. Number six, spend more time with the family. That's pretty good. Travel, number seven, travel to new places. Number eight, be less stressed. Just like, poof, that's good. If only it worked that way, right? Number nine, to volunteer. And number 10, to drink less. I'm going to go ahead and just say stop. These are the top 10 New Year's resolutions. And all of these are worthwhile goals, right? They are things that, if we take an assessment, if we take a moment to reflect over our lives, there are a lot of different assessments. Probably one of the easiest ones to do is, what should we start doing, what should we stop doing, and what should we continue doing? And so probably no doubt that these come as a product of some sort of inventory and reflection of what should I start doing. I should start losing weight and get fit. That makes sense. What should I stop doing? I should quit or stop smoking. What should I stop doing? So we're looking through those things that we should start doing. Now, the things that we should start doing are pretty easy. A lot of times we know what we should start doing. It's not always easy what we should stop doing. And sometimes that's the harder things, are the things that we should stop doing. But at the same time, that is part of the assessment, that we assess what should we start, what should we stop. And then finally, let's go back to stop. Sometimes we have to stop some things before we can start some things. Sometimes we have to give up some things in order to gain some things. Sometimes we have to let go of some things that seem important to take on some things that are much more important. Let go of some things that are important and they're convenient, but to reach for things that are even more important but harder to obtain. But then also, let's not forget that what has brought us spiritual or physical success, we need to make sure that we continue doing those things. So not only start and to stop, but to reiterate, this is what I started last year. I'm committing that I'm going to continue doing that. I'm going to continue pressing toward the mark. I'm going to continue. And so this start, stop, continue is an easy assessment tool to use. And so again, no doubt this is probably something, whether they specifically knew what they were doing, this is where these New Year's resolutions come from. But what I found very interesting among all of these top 10 New Year's resolutions is no reference to the one who makes all things possible. How often do we, even as the church, surely there was a number of people that are taking the survey and providing what their New Year's resolutions are. Surely some of them proclaim to be Christians. Surely some of them show up in church at least most Sundays and some Wednesday night. Surely there are some of those, but nowhere in that mix is a reference to the one who makes the impossible possible. The one who can, at the mention of his name, bring healing. The one that at the mention of his name can bring deliverance. Where is the reference to him? Had Joshua not just assumed it was just another battle and assumed the blessings of God were never ending and not just assumed his talents and abilities were sufficient, things would have been much different at Ai. If he had taken a moment and said, Jericho was incredible. God, what's going to make sure that AI is the next success and allow God to begin to speak to him? I believe God would have spoken to him and told him, there is sin in the camp. You're going to have to deal with the sin before I can bless you again. He could have dealt with it. He could have moved on. It would have been a victory if he would have taken that moment of reflection. I do see that there was a change after AI, and it is not as expressed maybe as we would like. But God kept drawing me back to the story of Ai, so this is the one I've used. And nowhere do we find that Joshua wrote down some of his reflections and resolutions and pinned them up on the bathroom mirror so that every morning when he woke up, say, yeah, God, you're going to do it. I don't see that, but we see something that he learned is that he's going to start making sure that he consults with God before he ever goes into battle. Right, that was one of his mistakes, right? He just assumed his talents would sustain him. He was victorious before. He had promises of God. We'll just walk on. We'll just keep rolling through. And he walked without God. But what we find in the very next chapter, we were in chapter 7. We go to chapter 8. Before he ever goes back to Ai, guess what he does? We find him visiting with God and saying, God, all right, are we ready? And we find that God says, go up. It's going to be different this time. The battle after that, after Ai, and Ai is destroyed, we find in chapter 10, we find that before the battle, guess what? We find Joshua talking with God about what's going to happen and what needs to be happening. And then the very next chapter, chapter 11, before the next battle, what do we find? Joshua is again communing with God and saying, God, how's this going to work? What do you want me to do? There is no more dependence on simply a promise or no more dependence on simply his talents and abilities, but now he has brought God into the mix and he said, you know what, maybe I could do it by myself, but I know that things work much better if I put God into the mix. And so I'm resolving that I will never engage in battle again without visiting with God. What happened? There was a moment in time in which he reflected and said, you know what, I've made some mistakes and I can fix it. There's some things I'm going to start doing. There are some things I'm going to stop doing. There's some things that I'm going to make sure I continue to do. And it worked well for him. We should be reflective. We should be changing. We should be growing spiritually. And there are some things that we need to make sure that we start, that we stop, that we continue. But not only focus on those things that are on the here and now, not only on the temporal things or the things where moth and rust doth corrupt, but the things that are going to make sure that I make heaven my home, that are going to make sure that my children are in heaven with me, that make sure that I bring my neighbor with me, that make sure that revival continues in Lincoln, to make sure that those spiritual things happen. Hey, I've got to make sure that I reflect on those things. So maybe a time of reflection would say that I need to start making sure I start every day with prayer. I don't have a lot of time. You know, why do we think that we have to have an hour I mean, I'm glad we pray an hour at times, but no one says that in the morning we have to dedicate a whole hour. Some of us would benefit from starting with 5 minutes. God, I'm committing to start this every day with you. Maybe it's things that you're going to stop. I'm going to stop missing midweek services. Maybe it's things that you're going to continue. I'm going to continue. I read my Bible through last year. I'm going to continue this year. I know we talk about it, and we'll probably talk about it more, but every single time I read my Bible through, every single time without fail, I see something I've never seen before. And more often than not, it speaks to my current situation. You talk about the Word of God being alive. You're saying, well, you're just doing systematic reading. Yep. And God is systematically speaking to me. So somebody said, well, that you just have to study. I get study's important, but for even from just systematic reading, God can systematically speak to you, and God can speak to you every single day. That would be a great thing to continue, or maybe to start. James writes this way, chapter 4, verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. As we place things in our life that draw us close to him, he will equally, you take one step toward him, he's taken 1, 2, 3 towards you, and we come closer together. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It almost sounds kind of like God's response to Joshua as he inquired of God what had happened. Verse number 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That doesn't seem pleasant. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. This is not an endorsement to be of a sad countenance, but it is an admonishment to submit ourselves completely to him. And when we do that and he draws close to us, the very last part of that says, and he shall lift you up. It is not just that I lift myself up, but in drawing close to him, he lifts me up. And he lifts me to places that I could never get to on my own. I could put all of the resolutions in order that would somehow look like rungs on a ladder that would get me to a desired end. And in the end, I find out I can't make it to the next rung. But as I draw close to him, he lifts me up and into places I could never get to on my own. As we all stand in this place this morning, what would God speak to you to start, to stop, or to continue? Oh, sure, maybe for some, you've conquered Jericho in 2019. It was an amazing year. You are on a high. You are finally walking into the promise that God ordained. 2020 is going to be just like 2019, only better, perhaps. But perhaps there is now sin in the camp. Joshua, you better talk to God before you head to AI. Joshua, you better talk to God before you step into 2020 and just assume that you're going to roll on like you've always rolled on. Because God also condemned not just, he was responded to Joshua. He not only talked about the stolen items, but he said, the things of just going through the motions is part of the problem. When I read that and I saw that definition, it convicted me in my heart. Not only do I've got to make sure I get sin out of my life, but I've got to make sure that I don't just go through the motions of what it looks like to be a Christian. And just as confident as I am that God would have gladly have spoken to Joshua and opened up his understanding of what needed to change, I'm just as confident that as us, if we earnestly ask of God, God, what do I need to do? As I'm going into 2020, I want to make sure that the blessings continue to follow me. God, I want to make sure that I step into every prophetic word that was spoken over me. God, I want to make sure that the blessings, Lord, that you promised me, that I receive every single one of them. And here's what I confidently believe. If you will earnestly ask of God, He will speak to you. Some of the things we already know now, probably as I've been speaking these words, there are things that have come to your mind and you know, and it's not maybe easy and maybe you don't want to and maybe you've even tried it in the past and it's not worked. But here's what I'm telling you, when we go into 2020 and into this new decade, let's be determined to draw nigh to Him, to draw nigh to God, and He will lift us up. What I would like to do in this last Sunday of 2019, is simply ask God, what do you want from me? What do I need to change? Not God, I want you to change my situation. We're not even there yet. Not God, change this, change. No, God, what do you want me to change? And if you earnestly ask, I believe that He will speak to you. And as you begin to implement those things, He will lift you up and the blessings will flow. I'm going to open up this altar. It's not a run the aisle kind of message, but I believe that God's speaking to us and He's going to prepare.